VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. We have a full program today. It's a news roundup program. Our thanks to Sandy for getting so many stories ready for us here today on the program. We've got much to make you aware of. And let me just say this. Our phone lines will not be open on the broadcast today. There is much that we'll be bringing to your attention today. And trust you'll be able to listen, glean the information, share it with others, and certainly to understand again the importance of being salt and light in a world that's in crisis, a world that's in turmoil. We have hope. That hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even amidst the chaos and troubling stories we share today, our trust is not in the latest healthcare move. It's not coming from the White House or the U.S. Capitol or the U.N. Our hope is found in Christ. So keep that as your foundation in your life. Certainly, the coronavirus has become the issue here across this nation. We'll have some thoughts on it today. But according to Fox News, now sick in more than 100,000 people. The world has officially been declared a pandemic, as we declared the other day from the reported from the World Health Organization. Scientists use the term pandemic, Fox News reports, to describe a new virus that emerges and spreads to multiple countries throughout the world. It means that the new virus is widespread, is spreading efficiently in these countries, but it does not tell us how severe the virus may be. Dr. William Scamfer, the medical director of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, told Fox News in that special report. Also coming to us from eFree News, the Justice Department has warned businesses that it plans to hold anyone accountable if they attempt to leverage off the fear triggered by the coronavirus outbreak. The department is cautioning individuals and companies who fix prices or rig bids on items such as sterile gloves or protective masks and other personal protective equipment that they could face criminal prosecution. Attorney General William Barr said in a statement Monday, "I'm committed to ensuring that the department's resources are available to combat any wrongdoing and to protect the public." WND.com reporting, Western Journal reporting, after a growing demand for an investigation into the origins of the novel coronavirus, China has reportedly demolished what they claim is ground zero for the deadly disease. Months after being shuttered following the outbreak of the last strain of coronavirus, the Wuhan wet market was torn down last week, Tuesday. The Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton has hinted at a super laboratory in Wuhan, a reference to the high-security biolab in that city as a possible point of origin for the contagious disease. We know there's a contention as to know its exact origin of it, and that investigation, no doubt, is going to continue. The Communist Party news outlet, according to Sons of Liberty Media, has threatened to withhold all medical exports to the U.S. at the same time asking for an apology from the U.S. and gratitude from the rest of the world. In the article, China suggests that they could easily get even with the U.S. for their perceived mistreatment of China. Well, if China retaliates against the United States at this time, in addition to announcing a travel ban on the U.S., it would also announce strategic control over medical products and ban exports to the United States. If they would ban the export of masks to the United States, the U.S. would fall into the mask shortage. More than 90% of the U.S. imported drugs are related to China. Folks, we've got a problem here. We've got a problem. And just as we have seen the U.S. respond to us being dependent on other nations for energy, crude oil, etc., isn't it time that we become independent as a nation as well, not relying on others for medical supplies? The article goes on to say, however, there's a great love in the world. The Chinese people and the Chinese government have never done so. They've not insulted the U.S., nor have they banned the export of masks and medicines to the U.S. Now we should rightly say that the U.S. owes China an apology, they say, and the world owes China a gratitude. Well, we're reliant on China for a shocking number of medical supplies and drugs, and it puts us in an extremely vulnerable position. This is a list that's been compiled at sonsofliberty.com. Things like medical devices, electromagnetics, lab equipment for all applications, tranquilizers, antidepressants, cardiovascular drugs, dermatological agents and local anesthetics, lidocaine, oxygen-increased breathing drugs for cardio patients and asthmatics, anesthesia drugs, thyroid drugs, anti-malaria drugs, antibiotics, diabetes drugs, asthma drugs, and even dental cement and other dental fillings, bone reconstruction cement. The list goes on and on and on. Well, it's also interesting, as Christian Post points out, as coronavirus cases and deaths have spiked in China, communist officials have attempted to deflect blame away from the central government by accusing the United States of starting the virus and causing panic in its response to the outbreak. Human Rights Outlet has reported, this is XILU.com, published an article claiming that China's military online portal, published an article claiming that the coronavirus is a biological weapon produced by the U.S. to target China, saying, the article says, imperialism has never stopped attacking, destroying, and annihilating China, but China is developing so rapidly that imperialism rips off its mask of hypocrisy and openly acts against China. The Global Times, a Communist Party-controlled tabloid, also accused the U.S. of immoral conduct and repeatedly claimed that the West's response to the disease is strained by racism and a yellow peril mythology. Kevin McCarthy is claiming that Democrats right now are delayed a vote on the coronavirus funding so they could run attack ads. He said that this past weekend, that they held the bill for emergency funding so that they could run attack ads against members of the Republican Party. Also, we have from redstate.com, President Trump addressed the nation from the Oval Office Wednesday night, updating the country on the Wuhan virus pandemic and announcing the implementation of new travel restrictions. Hadn't even finished giving the speech when the cries of racism and xenophobia started coming from the left. Indeed, it was coming out. Jim Acosta from CNN says that President Trump mentioning that the virus comes from China is going to come across to a lot of Americans as smack of xenophobia. They're accusing him of racism. And yet, folks, when you look at the news coverage that has happened from day one on this, time after time after time after time on CNN, you hear them calling it the Wuhan virus or the China virus. And now, because President Trump called it a foreign virus, all attack against him. I mean, you got CNN that has called it the Wuhan virus or China virus. ABC has been involved. NBC, CBS, on and on the list goes. But President Trump called it a foreign virus the other night, and they have come unglued. President Trump then lashed out at the mainstream media, accusing them of weaponizing the coronavirus for political gain. Dr. Andrew Fabich, the professor of microbiology at Truett McConnell University, said, for the past several months, I've been warning listeners on my radio show that Democrats and the mainstream media would weaponize the virus to tank the economy in an effort to sabotage President Trump's reelection bid. Also, a very troubling story on MSNBC, despite the media's empty words insisting that they're not politicizing this, they kept doing just that. There was MSNBC host Nicole Wallace and Princeton professor Eddie Gloud that were practically rooting for more Americans to die from the virus so it could be President Trump's Katrina. Quote, I was thinking in terms of politics, right? We think about the business community finally and not sticking with Donald Trump. But this may be, and I should mention this with a little trepidation, but this may be Donald Trump's Katrina. Well, LifeNews.com is reporting that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sought to include a potential way to guarantee federal funding for abortion in this coronavirus economic stimulus plan, according to multiple senior White House officials. Folks, it's unbelievable, and the negotiations that are going on, but all the little things they're trying to put into this, the left is seeking to put into this battle and fighting coronavirus, but to try and include abortion funding in this. This was while negotiating the stimulus with U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. Pelosi tried to lobby for several provisions that stalled bipartisan commitment to the effort, and on it goes. This is from Western Journal. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson defended the coronavirus task force handling of the virus from partisan political attacks this week at a news conference, saying, I want to thank the vice president and president for a very aggressive and careful leadership. Carson added he believed the risk associated associated with contracting the disease are low, largely because of the aggressive actions that have been taken and are continuing to be taken every day. The HUD secretary also praised pharmaceutical companies for working together voluntarily in order to help find a way to manage potential outbreaks. Well, lots of cancellations. The governor of Kentucky urged the cancellation of church services, but when he gave this on Wednesday, cancel worship services, he said over the weekend, but did not ask for other institutions where crowds congregate to cancel. He asked people to avoid cruises and nursing homes, run errands when they're least likely to encounter crowds. But at the time of his announcement Wednesday, cinemas, theaters, museums, schools, stadiums, universities, all remaining open in Kentucky at the time he said this, but churches should close, according to him. Well, the U.S. Capitol is closed to the general public over the coronavirus. Major League Baseball has canceled the remaining spring training games, delays opening day over the coronavirus. NHL has suspended their season over this, hoping they can resume play at some point later this season. The NBA has suspended the season after the first and initial player, and then we understand a second test positive for the virus. Fox News reporting that NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments due to the outbreak as well. We see also the Boston Symphony canceling its concerts. Here we have from Track Persia, Iran's senior vice president and two other cabinet members have contracted the new coronavirus. And we see the death toll climbing in the Islamic Republic there. And also, let's see, Iran releasing 70,000 prisoners to prevent the coronavirus spread. Monday announced it would release 70,000 prisoners in an attempt to prevent an outbreak of the virus in detention facilities around the country. The Iranian military, which is government mobilized to restrict travel within Iran and distribute medical supplies, beginning construction of emergency hospitals there. Very interesting, all that is taking place pertaining to the coronavirus. Now, friends, I just want to say this as we're going to move on to some other topics here. But this coronavirus is attracting worldwide attention. There are precautions being taken to avoid its spread, very necessary precautions. If you're ill, don't go out. If you have symptoms of the cold and runny nose, don't go out. But and if you have a weakened immune system, do not go out where others may be spreading germs. But with the overwhelming majority of those who contract the virus get over it, some people have died. Disease control institutions around the world have gone to great efforts to encourage proper action, wiping down surfaces and frequent hand washing. This virus is selective. It's caused some physical death, but there's a far greater issue that's got to be faced. You see, that issue is sin. Sin impacts everyone. Sin leads to more than just physical death. It brings about eternal spiritual death. And so, folks, as we deal with this issue, as you take precaution against the coronavirus, which is a temporary thing, there's going to be other viruses that come. I wonder if you've ever thought about dealing with the sin issue in your life. Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus who died on the cross for your sin? Have you placed your trust in him, knowing Jesus as Savior is a cure that lasts forever? And we encourage you, even as you consider the battling of the coronavirus, have you dealt with the sin issue that's impacting your life right now? We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day. We've got much on the plate, many stories ahead of us. Back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what was early man like?
Chris, early man was, of course, Genesis man, Adam and his descendants. But evolutionists have a different idea. They claim that the animals gave rise to the humankind. But as near as we can tell, man has always been intelligent and advanced. In 1991, the frozen carcass of a man who died over 3,000 years ago was found in Austria. Evolutionists expected that people from that era were rather primitive. But this guy had a framed backpack, a copper axe, was carrying dried fruit and other foods, a fire starting kit, and a first aid kit. He had a bow made out of the best wood available. He was fully human. And that's the biblical view. Man was created in Genesis, descended from Adam and Noah, fully human from the start. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
For more information, visit our website at icr.org.
We have got a full day of news today on a News Roundup program. Phone lines are not open on today's broadcast. From FoxNews.com, the U.S. military launched multiple strikes using coalition warplanes targeting multiple bases used by Iranian-backed Shia militias believed to be behind the rocket attack that happened yesterday, killing two Americans and one British soldier. A senior U.S. military source told Fox News. And the U.S. military strike was proportional, according to the U.S. military source, and hit multiple bases used by the Iranian-backed militia that fired some 30 Katyusha rockets yesterday at the base, housing both American and British troops. Of the 12 troops that were wounded, 5 are in serious condition. Keep them in your prayers. Coming to us from WND.com, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says that Tehran's request Thursday for Western help to fight the coronavirus isn't being received well because an Iran-backed militia killed 2 Americans in Iraq just a day earlier. You don't get to shoot at our bases and kill and wound Americans and get away with it. We're going to hold these persons accountable. The Iranian foreign minister wrote on Twitter, Iranian care personnel are courageously battling COVID-19 on the front lines, and talked about vast shortages and needing medical equipment. The regime wants the International Monetary Fund to give $5 billion to its central bank, even though the U.S. Treasury Department just months ago sanctioned the Organization for Terror Financing. And troubling indeed. So they kill Americans and say, hey, we want some help here fighting the disease. Well, from the One American News Network, Senator Bernie Sanders affirmed that he plans to stay in the Democratic primary in his first remarks since losing 4 states on Tuesday and falling further behind frontrunner Joe Biden in the delegate count. Sanders said that he looks forward to debating Biden on Sunday in Arizona. Also noted that he plans to press the former vice president on issues such as Medicare for All, energy, and immigration. In a statement, this is coming now from CNSNews.com, in a statement made this week in Burlington, Vermont, Senator Bernie Sanders indicated that he is staying in the Democratic presidential race and said he believes Donald Trump is a racist, a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, and a religious bigot. I want you to hear directly from Bernie Sanders what he had to say on this issue.
Let me begin by reiterating what I have said from day one of this campaign, and that is that Donald Trump is the most dangerous president in the modern history of our country. And he must be defeated. Tragically, we have a president today who is a pathological liar and who is running a corrupt administration. He clearly does not understand the Constitution of the United States and thinks that he is a president who is above the law. In my view, he is a racist, a sexist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, and a religious bigot, and he must be defeated, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen.
Senator Bernie Sanders. Well, as LifeNews.com points out, Bernie Sanders, radically pro-abortion, also a socialist. His campaign rolling out, well, yeah, free abortions for everyone. His plan promises that under his signature, Medicare for All plan, the Hyde Amendment would be repealed and all reproductive health services will be provided free at the point of service. Of course, the government cannot really make any commodity or service truly free, but merely change how it's paid for and who pays for it, meaning that this would leave American taxpayers to pick up the tab for all abortion services. A Sanders administration, the report, would also invert one of President Trump's more combated pro-life policies, that is stripping abortion providers of the Title X funding. By turning that defunding effort on pro-life pregnancy resource centers and threatening to strip them of Title X and other government funds. At the same time, a proposal also pledges to defend and increase government funding for Planned Parenthood. Sanders' plan drew praise from NARAL Pro-Choice America President Elise Hoag, who called it robust and a very solid plan on its merits, while saying that the organization would like to see the same from rival candidate and former Vice President Joe Biden. Speaking of former Vice President Biden, CNSNews.com reminds us at a campaign stop in Detroit Automobile Factory, the former vice president got into a heated argument with a union worker who told Biden, "I'd like you to explain how you plan to not only keep us working, but how you intend to keep the union vote when there's a large portion of the union workers that are gun enthusiasts, and you're actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment rights and take away our guns." Well, the former vice president used an expletive to condemn the man. We won't go into exactly what was said there. But also, the story coming out from Western Journal about a very worrying moment recorded between reporters and presidential candidate Joe Biden as the former vice president gave a seemingly nonsensical answer to an easy question. Bringing up this vulgar exchange with the auto worker, the reporter asked Biden, "Do you have regrets about how you handled it?" And Biden's response was, "Well, I'm surprised that Sanders is joining Trump," he said with a straight face. And you know, it's just surprising. He continued as his campaign team ushered him into a waiting SUV and quickly slammed the door shut. Now, a lot of reporters were asking questions, but none of them had to do with the answer that he provided. Let's listen in.
Peppermint with voters that you don't agree with, sir.
Vice President, on the coronavirus,
we're both targeting over this exchange this morning with the voter about guns. Any regrets about how you handle it?
Well, I'm surprised that Sanders is joining Trump. It's just surprising.
Was it appropriate to swear at an American, though, especially a union voter?
And he gets in the vehicle here at this point, and they close the door behind him. Very interesting exchange, but his response had nothing to do with that question, that where we heard the whole question, and nothing else that was asked concerning him from reporters. WND reporting, if Republicans refuse to stop investigating Hunter Biden, Democrats will launch a scorched earth attack on President Trump's children, warns an advisor to former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's campaign. Timothy O'Brien told MSNBC host Joy Reid, host of AM Joy, that the retaliatory media campaign would be unlike anything they've experienced thus far, the Washington Examiner reported. Bloomberg is now supporting former Vice President Joe Biden, whose oversight of Obama's policy in Ukraine and China, while his son won lucrative business deals in the two countries, is under scrutiny. Also, from LifeSiteNews.com, former Vice President Joe Biden has released his official LGBTQ+ equality plan. It is a comprehensive document laying out how he would elevate homosexual and transgender acceptance above religious liberty and conscience rights if elected to the White House. I just printed out this plan this morning, folks. It's in excess of 20 pages long. The plan lists as a top priority enacting the so-called Equality Act, which would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity among expressly recognized non-discrimination categories in public accommodations. It would force employers of 15 or more people to recognize their claimed gender identity, forbid them from discriminating based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and mandate transgender access to sex-specific facilities. It next pledges that Biden would fill judicial vacancies and top administrative positions with nominees who are both LGBT and favor LGBT policies. It's a pledge that the Biden campaign is making. Biden is also wanting to reverse the Trump administration's ban on gender dysphoria in the armed forces, to force federally funded adoption and foster agencies to place children in same-sex homes, to reverse various Trump religious liberty protections on LGBT matters, as well as its guidance on biological males, access to women's facilities and educational institutions, support the option to mark one's gender as X on government identifications, passports, and other documents. The plan further calls for various new hate crime measures that would divert the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to explore new blood donation criteria with less stigma for homosexual donors, federally mandating insurance coverage for HIV treatment and gender confirmation surgery. Folks, on and on this thing goes for some 20-plus pages as to the LGBTQ+ equality plan that former Vice President Joe Biden has unleashed, indicating this is his plan should voters propel him into the White House. Let me just say that, quoting Jelaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Council, elections have consequences. Very interesting indeed. This is a story that came out from CNSNews.com. A Yale psychiatrist with a history of claiming President Donald Trump is mentally unfit says she doesn't even want to discuss the mental health of Democrat presidential frontrunner Joe Biden because she says Biden's mental lapses are merely gaffes, while Trump's endanger all of humanity. As Newsbusters reports, Dr. Brandy Lee's defense of Biden and her diagnosis of Trump are highlighted in a recent Yahoo News article. Exhibit A is Brandy X. Lee saying a few stumbled words are not the same as the extreme danger that results from a list of signs that Donald Trump has shown. Americans shouldn't even be talking about some gaffes by Biden when Trump's cognitive decline is so great it poses imminent risk to the entire human civilization, Dr. Lee argued. From LifeSiteNews.com, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, his government has introduced a bill to criminalize therapy for those with unwanted LGBT identity. This is Justice Minister David Lamenti said that the bill will make it a crime to cause a minor to undergo conversion therapy, to remove a minor from Canada to undergo conversion therapy, that would cause a person to undergo conversion therapy against their will, or profit from conversion therapy, and advertise conversion therapy. If Bill C-8 is passed, Canada's law will be the most progressive and comprehensive in the world. Bill C-8 defines conversion therapy as a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual or gender identity to cisgender, or to repress or to reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior. Any kind of clinical therapy or spiritual counsel to help a person overcome their gender identity, confusion, and to accept their bodily reality, including the pastoral support, would be defined as conversion therapy and thus become illegal, said Jack Francesca, director of the Political Operations of Campaign Life Coalition, Canada's national pro-life, pro-family political lobbying group. Dr. Anne Gillies, Ontario psychotherapist, and another echo this warning. The ultimate goal is to silence the Christian church in Canada. Silence the Christian church in Canada. It is to silence us from talking. It's totally totalitarian, said Gillies. Indeed, totalitarian it is, ladies and gentlemen. In just a moment, we're going to be taking a break, but I'm going to be sharing with you a plea that's coming from a woman who lived as a man for 11 years, begging Canadian politicians to not ban the very therapy that healed her. We're going to be hearing from her momentarily on this. But friends, keep in mind that even the term conversion therapy is a wrong term. Some politicians think this is electric probes and shock therapy that's being utilized. They are in the dark on this issue. We're talking about talking, giving counsel to one another. And what they want to do is to make it against the law to give counsel to somebody who has unwanted same-sex attractions. Or saying, you know, some days I feel a male says I feel like a woman and I want that changed. It would be against the law for the counselor to give such guidance, but rather, it's okay for the counselor to affirm the dysphoria that is going on. And so we're going to take this break, and when we come back, we're going to hear the pleading coming from this woman who lived as a man for 11 years, begging authorities there to not ban therapy that healed her. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5 or 5 copies for a donation of $18. 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Oh, as it was in the days of Lot, Scripture tells us, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As it was in the days of Noah. What happened during the days of Noah? Everybody did that which was exceedingly sinful. It was exceedingly much against God. Everybody doing that which was right in his own eyes. And now we have a proposal from the Canadian government introducing a bill to criminalize therapy for those with unwanted LGBT identity. LifeSiteNews.com is carrying the story of a woman who lived as a man for some 11 years before receiving healing, has been now delivering a very powerful and a very direct message to Canadian senators, urging them to vote no to a bill which would make it illegal to advertise or profit from conversion, so-called conversion therapy, aimed at helping LGBT people overcome unwanted sexual conditions. She released a statement, and I'd like to listen to exactly her appeal that she is making.
Dear Senators of Canada, my name is Kathy Grace Duncan, and I was born a girl. But before the age of 5, I felt I'd been born into the wrong body, and I should have been a boy. The whole time growing up, I struggled with gender dysphoria, and I longed to be a boy. My home life was dysfunctional, and with the abuse from my dad towards my mom, I began to believe the messages that women were hated, vulnerable, and weak. So when I was 7, my little brother was born, and he was celebrated. It gave me the message that as a girl, I could be replaced, and to get the affirmation that I longed for, I would need to be a boy. In addition, at the age of 10 through the age of 12, I was molested by a family member. The sexual abuse confirmed the lies that women were hated, vulnerable, and weak. Not wanting to be any of those things, at the age of 19, I began to take male hormones, change my name, and I began to live as a man. Soon after starting to live as a man, I asked Jesus to become my Lord and Savior. But as a new believer, I didn't know how to respond to his will for my life. As I continued to live as a man, I fell into a deep pornography addiction and entered into a dysfunctional relationship that only brought heartache. Around the same time, I got involved at a church, and one night on my way to orchestra practice, the Lord called to me and said, "Will you now? Will you now?" I believe that the Lord was asking me to return to Him, and at this point, I had nothing to lose. So I said, "Yes, Lord, I will." After saying yes to the Lord, I was delivered from my pornography addiction. Also, after saying yes to the Lord, I had an encounter with Jesus, and I realized I needed to go back to being the woman that God had created me to be. I found hope and healing in the church. I also found a ministry called the Portland Fellowship to walk with me. And through the discipleship I received, I was able to find healing, restoration, and great peace. Senators of Canada, I would encourage you to vote no on S-202. Without the help of discipleship ministries and counseling, I could not be living in my biological sex, healthy and whole. Giving those who struggle with gender confusion hormone is only treating the symptom and not treating the real underlying issues. In voting no, you would allow hope to continue for those, like me, who are seeking help from counseling or from a ministry or help through their church. These places are offering healing and restoration to those who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction, homosexuality, or gender confusion, not conversion therapy. If the discipleship places, such as ministry or counseling, are closed, the person's right to choose the type of help that they would want has been taken away. Again, I urge you to vote no on S-202. I lived as a man for 11 years, and I walked out of that 27 years ago. Change is possible. I know, because I have changed.
Change is possible. I know, because I have changed, she said. And she lived as a man for some 11 years, and now begging politicians in Canada, do not ban the very kind of therapy, the counsel that brought her healing in her life. And there are those who say, you know, you cannot change one's orientation. Folks, we are male or female. And what we see pointed out here is that indeed change is possible. and she talked and testified of coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I praise God for his word, which declares, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're clean, you're cleansed, you're justified through the blood of Christ. And there is hope, there is healing, there is forgiveness, there's change that's available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have the entities of like the Canadian government now seeking to ban this council. We are seeing this happen in communities across the United States, even some whole states that are passing a ban on so-called conversion therapy. Be praying for men like Matt Staver at Liberty Council, like Brad Dacus at Pacific Justice Institute, that are taking cases and fighting these issues through the courts themselves, hoping that one of these will land before the U.S. Supreme Court to reaffirm what science tells us, what biology tells us, that you are male or female. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. An Oklahoma sheriff says two men arrested and charged with the rape of minors used a homosexual hookup app to precisely target underage boys. Hear that? Targeting underage boys. It's a homosexual app. Was mentioned by the sheriff's Mike Waters of Pawnee County as the tool that was used to lure underage boys. The arrest of the two men who used the app as a lure were part of a larger police sting, reporting Tulsa News on 6 on March 10th. The sting resulted in the arrest of some 11 men by Oklahoma police investigators. One of the charges of the suspects has been dropped. But one of the men worked in the school cafeteria and was arrested in early February after the boy he is accused of raping contacted the police. He was booked for sodomy, second-degree rape, and lewd acts to a child under the age of 16. The sexual abuse, ladies and gentlemen, committed in a school bathroom. The world's most used social networking app for homosexuals, bisexuals, transgenders, and queer people was used. The app is owned by a Chinese business, which has caused concern that Chinese intelligence uses it to collect sensitive personal information of its users, like HIV status and messages and where a person is located. It had around 27 million users in 2017. Well, the Tulsa News on 6 report quoted Sheriff Waters as saying that the 11 arrests for sex crimes were jaw-dropping. It's unbelievable. We cannot even go into all the details, folks. But he said the public needs to know, and he said the parents need to know how dangerous this is. Matter of fact, a September Breitbart News report listed this app as one of the top 15 potentially dangerous apps parents should look for on their kids' smartphones. The app for parents to look at, see if it's on your child's smartphone, is called Grindr. And certainly they are warning to for parents to look at your young people's, your teens' cell phones to be sure this app is not there. LifeSiteNews.com telling us a small-town Minnesota school has become a center of controversy because of an LGBT pride flag hanging in its cafeteria. Thomas More Society attorneys have requested an array of formal documents from school officials to investigate how policies may have been violated in this scenario. Now, isn't this interesting? Here we have in Oklahoma this homosexual app that's being utilized and the sexual assault taking place in the school. It has become the hookup for homosexuals to target underage boys. And then you go to Minnesota and here they're flying the LGBT flag in the school cafeteria. Marshall Middle School in Marshall, Minnesota serves 679 students, grades 5 to 8. The pride flag, used to represent people who have chosen a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender lifestyle, hangs on the school's cafeteria alongside the U.S. flag and a variety of international flags. A student circulated a petition opposing the LGBT flag and requested to display other flags offered by the school population were not welcomed by the administration. Thomas More Society Special Counsel Eric Cardell, who's been retained to represent the students, commented saying, at the very least, it's divisive and insensitive. It makes it appear that the school supports one group's beliefs at the expense of others. So here we have a sexual assault taking place one place where homosexuals are preying on underage youth. Matter of fact, one was a school worker. And then you go to another school district where the school itself is putting up the pride flag in the school cafeteria next to the U.S. flag. And let's go on to the state of Washington. Here is a headline from LifeSite News. Grooming, Washington passes a far-left sex ed plan promoting promiscuity, LGBT, and abortion. The Washington State Legislature gave final approval this week to a pro-abortion, pro-gender ideology sex education plan that will allow the Sex Act to be described to five-year-olds, seven-year-olds to be taught about sexual pleasure, and sixth graders to be directed to a website featuring how-tos. Content is so graphic, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot even report over the air what it entails. So all of this grooming is going on in the public education system here in Washington State that just passed this far-left sex ed plan promoting promiscuity, LGBT, and abortion. Maybe they should wise up and take the lesson that is being learned right now in the state of Oklahoma about this police sting leading to men who used a gay hookup app to lure boys for sex abuse, underage boys, in the school restroom. Instead, what's happening is that there are death threats being made for those legislators standing up to protect parental rights. You heard me right. This is coming to us from WND.com, a state lawmaker in Missouri facing death threats because he believes taxpaying parents should have input in how their publicly funded libraries are run. Representative Ben Barker has proposed the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act in response to libraries hosting events in which drag queens read books to children. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins in his Washington Update column said that the father of four is getting death threats at his office, violent messages on his phone, all for trying to give parents a say on drag queen story hour. A St. Louis area resident left a message saying, "Stop it with your imbecilic proclivities." He said he's trying to protect children from inappropriate content in our own libraries could get you killed. Baker said, "It seems we no longer live in a society where you can have civil discourse about ideas. No, it's okay to go in and corrupt the minds of young children," they're saying, "but don't speak against it or you get death threats." Coming to us from LifeSiteNews.com also, last weekend's box office receipts indicate that Onward, that's Disney's first animated movie with an openly homosexual character, has bombed. Industry insiders are citing Disney's promotion of homosexuality and the petitions and boycotts related to it as a significant reason for the movie's failure to attract crowds. The total take for Onward last weekend was $39 million domestically, $28 million from around the world. This is the lowest opening take for a Disney Pixar movie after accounting for inflation and also, not coincidentally, the lowest sale of tickets. Scott Schittle of LifeSite's campaign coordinator said, "This is great news. We believe that our petition and boycott have had a real and substantial effect. It shows that parents and grandparents are not on board with Hollywood's LGBT indoctrination agenda and that we will no longer pay to have our values disrespected." Onward cost Disney somewhere between $175 million and $200 million to make, which is average for a Pixar film. Said, so if Disney loses a lot of money because of the sexual ideas promoted in the film, hopefully they'll learn a lesson and stop doing it. The studio said should stick to good, wholesome storytelling that's fit for the entire family. We warned you about this film coming up, and indeed, according to LifeSiteNews.com, it has bombed. Got some more issues and stories here after the break. Again, it's a news roundup day today. Phone lines will not be open today. We've got more to report. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Many in America are shocked at the rate at which their church organizations, denominations, and other Christian organizations have completely denied the faith. They are not only denying the faith, but now they're promoting socialism, social justice, globalism, interfaith dialogue with Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imams. How did this happen? The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In all of these instances, whether it be a church, a Christian organization, a Christian denomination, or association, the first thing that happened is they denied the foundations of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith. Once they were moved off of the fundamentals of the faith and a biblical worldview, it was only a small step to their promoting the things of socialism, globalism, and mysticism. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and news came out this morning, by the way, that Brazil's president, Bolsonaro, tested positive for the coronavirus as well. Continue to be praying in regard to the spread of this virus. As we continue our stories today, from LifeSiteNews.com, a coalition of major businesses has signed an open letter threatening to boycott states that enact legislation resisting the transgender agenda on everything from transitioning minors to pitting female athletes against biological males. Organized by the pro-LGBT group Human Rights Campaign and Freedom for All Americans Education Fund, the letter claims that signatories are deeply concerned by various state laws that would affect access to medical care for transgender people and parental rights, social and family services, students, sports, or access to public facilities such as restrooms, and unnecessarily and uncharitably singling out already marginalized groups for additional disadvantage. Signatories include Airbnb, American Airlines, Amazon, Apple, Capital One, Google, Hilton, IKEA, Levi, Microsoft, Nike, PayPal, Nestle, and Uber. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting that Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska has called on the U.S. Department of Justice Tuesday to launch a formal investigation of Pornhub and its parent company, MindGeek, over the pornography giant's hosting of illegal videos that show a minor human trafficking victim being raped, sexually assaulted. Let's see. This from the Western Journal. President Trump has set an all-time record for the number of judges appointed to the critically important federal courts of appeals. Mike Davis, president of the Article III Project, told the Western Journal he has appointed 51 federal court of appeals judges. He's number two overall from the number of all Article III judges appointed at this point in the presidency, Davis said. He said that he's doing a phenomenal job filling the federal judiciary with highly qualified originalist and textualist judges, just like the president said he would when he campaigned for office. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham appear determined to conduct this, continue this robust confirmation pace and make more progress toward properly staffing the judiciary, they report. Okay, let's see. FoxNews.com, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered a win to President Trump on Wednesday, allowing his administration to enforce the Remain in Mexico asylum policy as litigation surrounding it continues. The Justice Department responded Wednesday by saying the High Court's order restores the government's ability to manage the southwest border and to work cooperatively with the Mexican government to address illegal immigration. The administration had argued that thousands of immigrants would rush the border if the High Court did not step in. We understand they report about 60,000 asylum seekers have been returned to Mexico to wait for their cases to wind through the clogged U.S. immigration court since the policy was introduced January 2019 in San Diego and later expanded across the border. Also being reported from the Daily Wire, the Trump administration announced Wednesday the results of a massive federal operation targeting the most notorious drug cartels in Mexico. The Justice Department and Drug Enforcement Agency revealed over 600 arrests have been made as a result of Project Python that started late last year. WND.com blogger and activist Pamela Geller reports the Supreme Court has declined to take up the case of the terrorist who wanted to kill her. David Dowd Wright was convicted for his leadership of two men who plotted to kill Boston police officers in 2015 and Geller. The Supreme Court rejected Wright's request to take up the case. Geller wrote, quote, "They played the race card and everything else they could play, but in this instance, justice prevailed. Not only did Dowd Wright target me for a brutal, cruel, and violent death, but there has been no indication that he has given up these beliefs, and they are only being reinforced while he is in prison." President Donald Trump is breaking barriers with the nomination of Air Force General Charles Q. Brown Jr. to serve as the Air Force's chief of staff, reports Western Journal. Brown, if confirmed by the Senate, would be the first black Air Force chief of staff, according to the New York Times. He's currently the commander of the America's Pacific Air Forces. Brown will be the first black member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff since Colin Powell, who chaired the Joint Chiefs from 1989 to 1993. Among the challenges for him will be the development of the Space Force. Troubling story out of Belgium. The 2019 Belgian euthanasia report was released, indicating there were 2,655 reported euthanasia deaths, representing a 278% increase in 9 years, VRT News reported. We anticipate a continued growth in Belgium euthanasia deaths as Belgian politicians discuss expanding euthanasia to include completed life, which is based on people who do not have a medical condition but believe that their life is complete. The NEJM study also concluded that 1.7% of all deaths were hastened without explicit request in 2013. That means that there were more than 1,000 assisted suicide deaths without request. I believe that Belgium people will wake up and realize how crazy the euthanasia ideology has become and recognize the social and human destruction that euthanasia has caused. Another troubling story here today about the woman in New York pleading guilty to illegally selling abortion drugs online using a jewelry site as cover. ChristianNews.net tells us a New York City woman pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge in illegally selling abortion drugs through the mail using a jewelry site as the front for her abortion pill scheme. According to reports, in 2016, Ursula Wing began selling the drugs she ordered from India to help fund her child custody battle and to assist women with obtaining abortions at a lower cost and with more privacy than going to an abortion facility. She herself committed a drug-induced abortion and has invited others to do the same, we understand. The scheme was outlined in court by an attorney, and understanding that she was filling out customs forms that the pills were for her own use, but then sold the drugs for $85 through her jewelry site. Each sale was creatively changed on the buyer's credit card, charged there as jewelry, and shipped along with a necklace under the name of Fatima's Bead Basket. She has been caught. Well, friends, that's all the time we're going to have for our news roundup today. We thank you for stopping by and listening. By the way, Kentucky House just passed a constitutional amendment specifying there is no right to abortion. Those of you in Kentucky, keep an eye on it. There is much going on in our nation today, much around the world. But, folks, let's stay in prayer for our nation. Stay in prayer even in regard to this this virus that is making its way nation by nation. And please exercise caution yourself by washing your hands, wiping down surfaces. If you have the symptoms, don't go out in public and those issues there. But folks, think about, think about as well the issue that's impacting every heart across this land. It's the issue of sin. People need a Savior. The answer is Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.